welcome to the Cure for Chronic Pain podcast with me, Nicole Sachs. You are here. Hello, lovies. How are you today? This is Nicole, and you've reached my podcast, The Cure for Chronic Pain, with me, Nicole Sachs. Welcome to it. So glad we are all here today. So today we're going to talk a little bit about anxiety. And whenever I say anxiety, I always have to say it's not in a vacuum that we have anxiety. Anxiety and back pain and migraines and chronic fatigue and fibromyalgia and all the things we talk about here. And I'm not downplaying any of these diagnoses. But in my 20 plus years of doing this work, I have found that they are interchangeable, that you could start with back pain, it could morph to anxiety, you could move into some headaches, you could, as long as you understand what's going on with the brain science behind it, with the nervous system dysregulation, you're going to be okay, wherever this finds you. But today we're going to talk about anxiety because I always have my finger on the pulse of what you need. And I'm involved in a lot of different things right now. I have my Journal Speak community on Facebook. I have my new membership community that I'll talk about in a second. And I have my interactions with the world as, you know, the world has opened back up. I'm traveling a lot and I'm talking to people and interacting with new people all the time. And people are always so concerned about anxiety disorders and what kind of disorder they have and how disordered they feel. And so as part of this podcast today, I'm going to replay a clip from a podcast I did in December 2020. So you will hear some references to pandemic and to Blue Dog and to things that are no longer. And it's called Anxiety is Not a Disorder. And I think what I really wanted to say back then that I want to reiterate now is I think our greatest space for healing is when we bring our nervous systems to center and we deal with what's in front of us, which is symptoms and challenges and issues with the day-to-day without needing to disorder it. You know, just because I say anxiety isn't a disorder doesn't mean that I don't think anxiety is real. I'm a lifelong anxious mess. I'm really, truly not anymore. And that is like such a hallelujah. But anxiety has been a bedfellow for me my entire life, along with insomnia and a lot of other childhood shit that even predated my acute back incident, which was when I was in college. It started this whole journey. And so I get it. I mean, I run anxious for sure. And so do many of my friends. And so do many of the people I'm most drawn to. So it's not a bad thing. It's part of your personality. But I do really, truly understand that when it gets to the point where it's interfering with your functioning, it's very easy to disorder anxiety. And so I kind of just want to normalize that today. I want to respond to the fact that a lot of you guys are reaching out about your anxiety. Many times anxiety is a very strong symptom imperative, which means that you might enter into this work with back pain and the back pain starts to abate and you might reach out to me and say, "Nicole, now I am crippled with anxiety. I have no pain." And I'm like, "Yay!" And you don't like that, but I do like that because it means you've got it on the run and it means that there is movement and it means your nervous system is checking with you. Okay, you don't need the back pain. Gotcha. But maybe things are really not safe. So let's do some crippling anxiety so you stay home. You know, and I have been there so many times that I know it's not necessary to go there, that it's much more important to just stay centered and know that, okay, I'm having an anxious day. I'm having a symptom imperative. And if the term symptom imperative is confusing to you, I have a whole podcast on the symptom imperative. It's in the summer series. Lisa and I did one over the summer on this, and it's really good. I was just about to be like, and it's so good, my own podcast. But it's really effective. So if you're curious about what it means for anxiety to be the symptom imperative, go back there and do that. I'll listen to that. But anyway, the point is that when I hear from you guys a lot on a topic, I want to bring it back to the podcast so that we can discuss it. So a couple of things I want to mention. First is I have this membership community. And it's something that's almost full for the second cohort. So if you're interested, it's a monthly fee. We have a private community that we're all talking in and interacting in. I am there every single day, answering questions, putting up journal prompts. And my partner, Lisa, the producer of this podcast, is also there. And we are both on a Zoom, one time a month, 3-hour Zoom that is part of the membership community. So if you're interested in joining our second cohort, there's only a few spots left. Email me at njsachs@thecureforchronicpain.com and put membership in the subject line. And I'll put you on the wait list for the second cohort. A lot of information is going to be sent out about that very soon, like in the next week or two. If you've been on the wait list, do not fear. It's coming. Another thing is I have an anxiety course, and I only want to say that at the front end because, I don't want you to leave this podcast without feeling like you have a resource if you want something next. It's called Freedom from an Anxious Life. It's on my website, thecureforchronicpain.com. So click over there if you need any information about this work, whether your issues are manifesting as anxiety or physical pain or any diagnosis that, you're feeling really stuck. Go over to my website and lots of free information there, as well as things to purchase and to engage in. Okay, so as I said, this is a replay of a podcast that I did in December 2020. It is entitled Anxiety is Not a Disorder. And like I said, there may be references to that time period, but the information stays the same, which is how we can stay centered, how we can normalize what's going on with us, and how we can live in the solution, which is super, super important. All right, guys, I send you tons of love. I hope today finds you well, and enjoy this replay, and I'll see you next week. Bye-bye. We must, as a society, if we want to heal and grow and awaken, we absolutely must stop disordering the natural human process of being alive. Because we do that with everything. The reason that chronic pain and chronic illness are such epidemics around the world is that we continue to label them with diagnoses that have negative and often lifelong connotations and not look beyond that label and the pre-approved therapies for that label, meaning whatever medication or injection or even holistic treatment you can undergo to deal with your diagnosis, your abnormality, your disorder, your syndrome, your condition, whatever it is. We don't look beyond that old thinking, that very well-tread Western medical model thinking, into the fact that we are attempting to live a human life. A human life that is fraught with all sorts of big feelings. Feelings of joy and excitement and exhilaration, coupled with feelings of despair and helplessness and hopelessness and loneliness and fear and grief and terror and rage. And that is what it means to be alive. And P.S., if it didn't mean that, we would not be doing this. What would be the point? We're here to feel things. We're here to love. We're here to connect. We're here to rejoice. We're here to grab hands with the people that we love when it's safe and say, we're in this, guys. We're in it. We're also here to fall face down on the bed and sob because it's hard. What we're doing here is hard, but it's worth it. And it's what we got. And it's what is. So if we are to heal, if you are to heal, and let me pause here to say this is really about you. I like to use the term we because the truth is I like to normalize this across the board for all of us. But here is where I need to pause and speak to you because this is not going to be a top-down change. What I teach must come from the bottom up, from millions, is my hope, millions of individuals who decide, each of them individually, not one day more, Not one day more will I suffer in powerlessness. Not one day more will I say, I believe that what the diagnosis or the condition or the disorder that I have been given is my life sentence. Not one day more. And that opens their mind to willingness. Willingness comes to openness. Openness delivers us into surrender. Surrender opens the door to truth. And truth is where we heal. True connection to ourselves, with ourselves, partnering with this one person we've got, one person we have control over, ourselves and our behaviors and our actions. So here's the thing. We can no longer call these things disorders when they're really information. And they're really part of being alive. So the first thing is they're normal. It's normal to feel symptoms of anxiety. It's normal to feel all sorts of pain. It's not abnormal. Just like Glennon Doyle is saying, it's normal right now to feel like this is the big suck. Because it is. Oh my God, it is. And it's normal to feel pain in your body, to have headaches and back pain and fibromyalgia and anxiety manifesting in your stomach and in your skin and in your breathing and in your throat and in that feeling like you can't swallow or you can't take a deep breath or in chest pain. It's actually normal. It's not pleasant. So, you know, although anxiety is not a disorder and I don't want to call it such, what is disordered about it is the way it stops us in our tracks and keeps us from living our lives. That, yes. It is disordered to be owned by something that you feel powerless underneath, that it is a heavy cloak that is hanging over you. That is indeed disordered. And so what's the solution? I love to live in the solution. I have to identify the problem because that's part of my work and that's part of my job with you, is to identify the problem so we're no longer hiding from the problem and we're no longer asleep to the fact that we have power to affect change. So I'm calling it out, which is that we live in a society of rampant anxiety. Much of that is due to the unfettered information that we're receiving at all times because we're so connected now via the internet and social media, and everything you want to research is at your fingertips. Oftentimes it's incredibly dark and incredibly hopeless, what we find on Dr. Google. And it creates tremendous amount of anxiety. You know, anxiety is a large umbrella under which a lot of things live. Physical manifestations of anxiety that I was just discussing, emotional manifestations of anxiety that comes through in a sense of dread, a sense of darkness, a sense that, I mean, and that could also be called depression, but believe it or not, anxiety can cause that same feeling because you're just so anxious. You're scared to leave your house, you know, and then it manifests in things that are diagnosable, like agoraphobia, like a generalized anxiety disorder, like a panic disorder. And then there's behavioral anxiety, which leads to things like checking and OCD and insomnia and just rumination, perseveration, thoughts that roll over in your head. You can't stop, intrusive thoughts that feel like something's really wrong with you. Why do I keep thinking about hurting other people? Why do I keep thinking that I'm going to jump in front of a car? I mean, these are horrible thoughts. They're terrifying, but they happen. And guess what? They're normal. They're normal because they're part of being alive and they are a consequence of confusion, of overwhelm, of underwhelm, and of big feelings. So the first we can do is label this and know that it's happening and that it's normal and that it sucks and it is scary and it's annoying and it's irritating and it's all the things, but it's happening and it's normal. It's not a disorder in itself. It feels disordered the way it manifests. Having said that, what does living in the solution look like? Well, the first thing is realizing that the reason for anxiety, it's both the genesis and the reason for anxiety, is an overactive nervous system as a result of a constant perception of fear. When you think that you're unsafe moment to moment all day, your nervous system, in a loving and very high functioning way, is going to react by trying to protect you. Anxiety, by its very nature, is a protective function because it keeps us from getting into situations that could kill us. And if, indeed, you're so hypervigilant of the outside world and you've done so much research and you've noticed so many things that are scary and wrong, think about it. Agoraphobia, although incredibly paralyzing and unpleasant, could be viewed by your primitive nervous system as an incredibly safe and loving gesture. Just don't leave your house. You'll be fine. So we need to understand this. We need to take the stance of looking at this from brain science, not from a resigned position of I'm broken and nothing can fix me. So once we get there, once we understand that brain science is at the helm, that not only is it normal to feel all these big feelings because we are human and we are built for them, and in so many ways they make life worth living, we're also subject to the leanings of our primitive brain and nervous system that seek to protect us and to keep us alive at all costs. Okay, so that's what's happening here. Fine. Phew. Okay, well, I'm just a normal person, functioning actually quite well, considering that the nervous system's number one job is to keep me alive. And here I am, alive, maybe trembling anxiously in the corner of my house, but I'm alive. Here I am. What do I need to do about it? When we understand that the only thing we can control is our next right considered action, and when we understand that it is normal to go through these things that feel uncomfortable, we come to a place of choosing. We get to choose what we do next. And here is where I find a lot of people get stuck in the muck. Because when we choose something, we feel like it should be something pleasant or comfortable or yay. We love to choose the yay. And trust me, I love to choose the yay. I'm a huge fan of yay. It's one of my favorite words. And when my kids were little, they oftentimes, instead of saying yes, that they wanted to do something, they would say yay. So I'm like, hey, who wants to go to the playground this afternoon? And instead of saying yes or I want to, they would say yay. And I loved it so much. The energy of yay is so beautiful. And I want us to be able to say that the choices we make out of our own free will should be yay kind of choices. But this is the problem, and why we're so stuck is that life is not a choice between what sucks and what's yay. Life is a choice between what hurts and what hurts worse. And I love you, and I'm sorry. And I'm sorry for myself too, because I don't like it. But life is a choice between what hurts and what hurts worse. That means that everything has a side effect, and it's okay, because we have to live in the truth. And if you've heard me talk about this, I'll just repeat it for a little bit of a reminder that the most amazing things, the most beautiful things that you love about your life, they hurt. The biggest, most profound example for me is having children. Having children, honestly, is a tremendous joy. Moment to moment, to be able to be in the space of these people that I am raising, that I get to have in my life, that we get to talk and hang and be together, it's beautiful. But do they hurt? Are you kidding me? They fucking kill. Oh my God, when they suffer how I suffer, and then they're a pain in the ass, and then they're unappreciative, and then they're rude, and they're moody, and then I have to watch them go through what I went through when I was a kid and be triggered into my own pain and drama. My good God, they hurt. But would it hurt worse for me personally, I only speak for myself in this moment, to not have them? Yes, it would hurt worse to not have them. So I live as well as I can within what hurts, which is being a mother to these children. The same thing can be said for everything from your job that you work to your food that you eat to the way you choose to spend your time. I want to go take a nap. Well, that sounds like a yay kind of thing. Yeah, it is. It's great. But how about the guilt and shame that you can't keep yourself from feeling because you should be doing something else? It doesn't mean that the guilt and shame is so overwhelming. Your guilt and shame over your nap might be momentary. It might be like, but should I be doing this? And you might be like, yep, I should. When I say what hurts versus what hurts worse, I don't mean that the pain is excruciating. I just mean it's going to be something. It's very rare that you make a choice in life that has no pain attached, even if the pain is not in that moment, it's later on. Getting a puppy. Oh, the puppy. Look at the puppy. I'm going to surprise my family with the puppy. It's the best thing in the world. Oh, the joy of the puppy, right? Gotta love the puppy. Until 3 days from now when the puppy eats your shoe and shits on your bed and then goes and eats something in the kitchen and needs to be rushed to the vet. I'm not saying that it's worse, that it hurts worse to have the puppy. I bet you $1 million through the lifetime of that dog, it will exponentially hurt worse to have not had that dog. But it still hurts. And everything in life comes down to that. Absolutely everything. So here we are in the world of what hurts versus what hurts worse. And we're told anxiety is not a disorder. You're normal. Here's how you're going to empower yourself. And you say, okay, I'm going to make the choice. And all of a sudden, it's uncomfortable. Because what I'm asking you to do is sit with yourself, to become an intimate partner to yourself, to understand that this is life and that we are walking through it, and our best chance of walking through it well is to walk through it in partnership with ourselves, but that is uncomfortable AF. And so when people start making the choice to do work that delves into self and to work on themselves and to do all this inner child stuff and to challenge old habits and to get out of your comfort zone, the first thing that happens is they say, wait a second. This hurts. I'm trying to get out of hurt. I don't want to do something that feels uncomfortable. No. And I say, well, the choice is yours. You either pick up your anxiety or your pain, or your discomfort, or your condition, or your diagnosis, or your syndrome, you can pick that up and you can hold it. And it can be yours as long as you need it to be. And so many of those things do serve a purpose for us. Or you could pick up what I'm offering, which is this work of going within, of your journal speak practice, of all the things I teach. And, you know, if you're new to this work, there's so much to learn, and don't be overwhelmed. Just go to my website. It's called thecureforchronicpain.com. Click on the resources tab. Tons of stuff that I offer is free. I have a YouTube 4-part series called Healing Yourself that can be applied to either anxiety or pain, about doing the journal speak work, about opening this partnership with yourself and getting real and laying down your weapon of fear and of anxiety and of rage and of grief and allowing it to be integrated and embodying it. I have so much stuff out there, and it's not going to overwhelm you. You can go do it little by slowly. But what I'm saying is, we must normalize the fact that no matter what we do, it's going to be uncomfortable. It's going to hurt in some way. And if we can embrace that anxiety is not a disorder, we can start getting on the train, the boat, the car, choose your vehicle. We can get on the road. Perhaps you're going to walk. Doesn't matter how fast you go. It's just that you're moving. It's just that you're willing. Because this is the way to a life of freedom. You know, you'll notice that I did not name my anxiety course Freedom from Anxiety. The reason I named my first course Freedom from Chronic Pain is because there is a cure for chronic pain. There's just not a cure for human pain. Chronic pain is an epidemic of fear. That's what keeps it chronic. So there is a cure for that, because I teach you how to really unearth the fear, to become acquainted with it and to allow it to go. And I promise you it works, because I have thousands and thousands of people around the world standing in testimony to that. But the reason I named my second course Freedom from an Anxious Life is because anxiety in itself is not a problem. It's necessary. We need anxiety as the first thought we have in order to make sure that we're safe. And I often say you are not responsible for the first reaction you have to something in your mind. You're responsible for your actions, and I will hold true to that you are. But you're not responsible for your first thought about something because that's a reflex. And that's a reflex that's oftentimes informed by your brain and your nervous system and your anxiety, which is, I can't handle this. I can't talk to her. I can't have that conversation. I can't do that. No, I'm not. Okay, that's your first reaction. I totally get it. It's important. So you can pause there and you can say, is this actually really a danger to me, or are these old ideas cropping up and informing me that I'm not okay, but my life is not free, and I want freedom, and I want joy, and I want connection, and I want all these things. So, can I pause here and see if I look carefully, am I really in danger, or are those old ideas trying to keep me safe? And when you do that, and that's what I teach in the course and in a lot of my work, you're able to make different choices, being informed, being awake, and that is everything. So it's freedom from an anxious life. We are not looking to be free from our anxiety. Now, what happens little by slowly when you do this work and when you open yourself to these theories and this healing and these possibilities, what happens is you do have less and less anxiety. You just do. You know, one of my colleagues, Whitney, who's my producer and my designer and such a dear friend, she made a testimonial video that is available on my website. It's on the tab that says courses. And if you click on Freedom from an Anxious Life and scroll down, you'll see her, Whitney. She used to have panic attacks so severely that she was agoraphobic. And she's using the methods that she learned simply by helping me produce the course, because she had to obviously be immersed in the material for months. She hasn't had a panic attack since. This is freedom. It doesn't mean you're not going to get scared by things. It doesn't mean that things aren't going to feel overwhelming at times. But when you have the tools, when you have the power to pause. So I'll tell you that the acronym that I teach in my work is called POSE. We're looking to assume the anxiety pose. Pause, observe, stay and soothe, and embrace. And I teach it all. And when you learn to do this, you start having choices, and choices is freedom. And as people who are doing the course are starting to comment back to me, and this information is starting to roll in, I'm really getting like, man, we all need this. We need to be able to lay down the deep fear that comes so honestly to us. You know, I think about my childhood and I think about my anxiety as a child, and it was so honest. And it wasn't that I was being abused or neglected. It wasn't. I mean, not all of us have to have severe trauma in order to hold on to that kind of anxiety. I always think anxiety is a combination of nature and nurture. I am definitely born vigilant and sensitive and aware. I notice everything. It is absurd. I mean, I'll be in the room and I can, and it's just genetic, I guess, or whatever you would call it, organic. I can do like four things at once well. And that might sound like, oh, that's a great thing, but sometimes it can be really overwhelming. But like, I can hear what's going on a TV show. I can write something that is meaningful, like an email or a post or something. I can hear the conversation going on in the kitchen, and I can sense whether or not the dog's going to throw up. I can do all those things at the same time. And sometimes that feels like I'm going to fucking lose my mind. Because my anxiety can just go shoot right up, because everything is coming in. And I don't know if you'll relate to this, and I'm sure not everyone's like this that has anxiety, but it's just, I am. My radar is up, and I probably have like six of them, and they are beeping and moving around my head at all times. And so that's nurture. I mean, that's nature. That's just, I'm like that. I have been like that since I was a super little kid. So a lot of my trauma, I think, involves being so aware of everything around me that I was taking everything in. My parents had a difficult marriage. They eventually divorced. We moved a lot. We had financial problems. I had social issues because I was being in new schools all the time. So I felt very unmoored. And I developed this kind of theory about myself that all I had to do was figure out what you needed me to be and be that, and then I'd be okay. So it's like I developed a lot of anxiety, a lot. I thought about things a lot. And over the years, doing the work that I have created through my practice, through my personal experience, through my work with thousands of people, through my colleagues that I've had excellent, amazing colleagues around the world I've worked with throughout the years, at the top of the heap, Dr. John Sarno, who was very dear to me. Through that, I've learned how to not be anxious. It doesn't mean I don't feel anxiety. Just like there's no cure for human pain, there is no cure for human anxiety, but I am free. I am literally free, free as a bird. I can go anywhere, do anything, cool my nervous system down out of any panicky feeling in the moment. And so can you. This is available to you. And I'm sure you hear in my voice, I hope you hear in my voice how much I care. I care so much that you feel better, because nothing makes me more devastated and upset than unnecessary human suffering, because there is so much necessary human suffering. Life is a choice between what hurts and what hurts worse, and there will always be things for which we must suffer. We suffer for what we love, we suffer for our passions, we suffer for our grief and our loss, we suffer our shame of childhood, we suffer our own inner rage and self-loathing. My God, there's so much that we can't help but suffer, because it's just natural and it's coming toward us. But the unnecessary human suffering of not realizing that there are solutions, that's what kills me. So I hope so much that this talk today can help you normalize who you are, what you are, can help you wake up to the fact that there are solutions that perhaps you have not yet tried or known about, and that you can live a life free of chronic toxic anxiety. You might have moments of anxiety. You might have your first reaction be something that you don't love, but you are always empowered by your second reaction, which is something that is learned, that's something that is cultivated within pause, that beautiful, luscious pause that we can have that allows us to make the next right considered action for ourselves. And all of this is in the course. So like I always say, so many of my resources are free. Go to my resources tab. I have a community. I have so much out there, this podcast, my YouTube channel. But if you do want to take the course, it is available also. Click from the homepage of my website or from the course tab. You can read all about it. I'm proud of it, and I'm glad to have it out there. All right, my friends, listen, you have a really good day, okay? Just have a good day. You can make it a good day. You can decide it, even if it's a shitty looking day. You can pause and say, I'm going to open myself up to see the goodness in it today. And I am not a Pollyanna, okay? Just know that. I'm like the worst sometimes with the way I can be very cynical and think everything sucks, but I can always pause because that's just my nature. I have a momentary nature of that. I also have a nature of joy when I invite it in, big time, bigger than my cynicism, to be honest. But wherever I find myself, I can pause, and you can pause and decide at any moment to start over and say, you know what? Fuck it. I'm going to have a good day today. I'm going to have a good moment right now. Obviously I'm trying to end the podcast, but I'm going on and on. But one more thing I'll say, with human interaction, especially now, especially when tensions are high, you can hear your coworker in the other room, or you can hear the tone of somebody on Zoom, or you can hear your kids arguing in the kitchen, and you can have this first initial reaction of, oh, I don't want to deal with that, or this is how I'm going to come in, guns blazing, and you can pause. And you can decide what will make me feel better after the interaction. And you can seek peace for yourself first. We have to be selfish sometimes and seek our own peace. We can move into that interaction with grace and with calm and embracing the fact that this is a human life, and sometimes it's going to hurt and sometimes it's going to be super annoying. And we can bring our best selves to the situation. We all have the power to do that, and it can change your day. So try it. Let me know how it goes. And if indeed you are enjoying this podcast, it is so important to me. It's the way you can say thank you to me that costs you nothing to go over to iTunes and rate and review it. Write a couple lines about what it's meant to you. People read those and it opens them to this process, which is really a beautiful gift. So thank you for that. And I love you. And I want you to be well. And I know you can. All right. Until next time, this has been Nicole Sachs with the Cure for Chronic Pain podcast, and I'll see you next week. All right. Bye-bye.